Amen. Please take your Bibles today and turn to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 2. Last week we were in Galatians chapter 1 about false teachers and some different things about those guys and how to recognize them. And so this week is about making decisions, making the right choice. And we're faced with choices day by day by day. And so it's important for us to recognize biblical choices have the most impact on our life. And so sometimes it's hard to understand what to do. And so I think there's some good things that we can kind of draw out of this text. And so Paul and Titus both make decisions. And really the process is not found in Galatians chapter 2. But if you look back some other places we'll find, they really use those times of prayer and times of guidance to make the choices that best influence the gospel and cause them to do some things and not to do other things. And so hopefully that'll be evident as you go through this in Galatians chapter 2. So let me read to you Galatians 2, 1 through 11. Then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of the false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepts no man's persons, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectual in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Father, we come before you. We say thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. And thank you, Lord, for those godly men and women in the Bible that really make good decisions to follow you in all things. And so, Lord, today we pray for that same thing for us. And help us to draw from this text and give us wisdom and guidance that we would be like Paul and Titus and their past and how they sought you in prayer and truly made good decisions that further the kingdom of God. So, Lord, today we pray for wisdom and insight and guidance. I pray for a clear voice and a clear mind today to speak the truth. And, Lord, I thank you for that promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. Make good on it today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, I heard about a young man really wanted to be successful in life, so he thought, I need to go ask somebody who's been successful their secret of success. And so he goes to a prominent businessman in town, and he says, tell me your secret of success. I just want to know. And he said, son, two words. And he said, two words, just tell me. He says, right decisions. He said, well, that's pretty good, making right decisions. Well, how do you get right decisions? How do you make those right decisions? He says, one word. He said, well, what's that word? He says, experience. He said, that is great. But how do you get experience? He says, two more words. What's that? Wrong decisions. Have you ever made a wrong decision in your life? Man, I sure have in my life. Wouldn't it be good to make good decisions all the time? While I know that may be an impossibility, there are some things that we can find in the Word of God that leads us to make good decisions. And I want you to recognize there's two words in this passage I really want to deal with. One is Paul said he went up by revelation. In other words, he got an answer from God, and God told him to go and do something. And then Titus was compelled not to do something. Matter of fact, he did not want to follow the teaching of the false prophets and do what they were called to do. And so God gives us a revelation to do something, or a conviction or a compelling not to do something. And so that's what the text is about today. And hopefully you'll just kind of pull that out as you walk through this life, making good choices. And so how to make good decisions, and even better, how to keep from making bad decisions. So here's the first thing. There must be a powerful desire for the Lord's instruction. A powerful powerful desire for the Lord's instructions. And while we don't find that particular just saying it clear and boldly in chapter 2 there, we do know that Paul desired to simply live right and do right and follow God's will. See, Paul had been preaching for many years, and if you add up the years, he may almost 20 years by now, he's been preaching the Word of God. He's been going to the different peoples and proclaiming that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. He makes it clear that our salvation is not based on anything except for Christ and Christ alone. But there are people that have followed him around every place he goes, and they're offering a different word or a different teaching, and that is that men must become Jewish, you may say, first. Matter of fact, Paul kind of deals with this in Acts 15, and we think Galatians chapter 2 is really fitting in the time frame of Acts chapter 15 as Paul goes. Let me read you Acts 15, when Paul's speaking about this. And he says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." And so Paul's wrestling with this thing, how do I deal with these guys, and how do I further the kingdom of God? How do I make sure that my life's work of preaching the gospel is not just in vain? How do I accomplish these things? And so he is praying and seeking the Lord. And I'm telling you, he desires to simply be in God's will. And so the question is, why? Well, one, the Lord's way is right. The Lord's way is right. And whatever course of action, Paul makes sure it was the Lord's will, for his way is best. And I would just want to tell you something. Today, if you're going to do anything, you ought to make sure what you're doing is that you're being led by the Lord. Why? Because his way is right. And it comes from this great desire. You look back through the Bible, there's so many pictures of people seeking God. Let me just stick with the Psalms. Psalms chapter 5, verse 8, the psalmist said, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because mine enemies make thy way straight before thy face." Psalms 25, 5, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me." Psalm 61, he says, "From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Psalms 143, verse 10, "Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness." There was a desire to be led by the Lord. Every believer should have a great desire not to be led by you or somebody else, but by God himself. By the way, you will be led by something. Make no mistake, something or somebody will lead you. There is plenty of evidence, if you read Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 18, that we are servants to something. Something is leading us. The hope is that we will see and be led by the Spirit of God. Now, sometimes God has a change of mind. Sometimes God gets a hold of you. Sometimes God has a turn. Remember old Samson? Samson was led by himself. Samson made a mess of his life. He could have been the greatest judge there had ever been in the book of Judges. But Samson was wrong so many times, led by himself, until the very end of his life, when he finally calls out in prayer and asked the Lord to give him strength, and he did more in his death that day than he did in his life. He was finally led by the Lord. I wonder today, will you be led by him? Will you call upon him? Will you seek him? Will you do what God desires? Will you seek the wisdom and get an answer from the Lord? So evidently, Paul surely did, because it says in verse 2, "And he went up by revelation." God spoke to him and said, "Go to Jerusalem, get down there, and you begin to see what I'm going to do there." Go back to where Christianity first starts. Go back to the hub where the church is, that is in Jerusalem. He says, "Get to Jerusalem, and I'll make things right there." And so that's exactly what Paul does. And so we need to recognize that we need to do the right thing. We need to hunger for God's word so he'll send us in the right path. The psalmist also said in Psalms 42:1, "As the hart or the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants after thee." And so there is a right way that God desires. His way is right. But that right way also leads to this. The Lord's way is also rewarded in verse 9. And so he's going to go down there. I'm going to skip ahead just for a moment. He states his case. He tells them what's going on. He makes a plea about what God's doing in the heathen, or the areas in Galatia and Ephesia, those places. And they agree with Paul and says, yes, what you're preaching is right. I'm telling you, when you do it God's way, you don't have to fight and you don't have to get mad and fuss and carry on. You just do it God's way and let Him fight the battles for you. And so he gets down there, and lo and behold, he is rewarded because Paul follows the path that God has set for him. And so I'm telling you today, if you want to do it right, if you have a desire for Him, if you seek Him, you will be rewarded with something. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and abradeth not, notice this, and it shall be given him. If you're seeking, you will find. How do I know? Matthew 7, these are the words of Jesus. Matthew 7, 7 and 8, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. When you do it the Lord's way, there's always a reward of some kind. It is always better than our way. So the question is, do you have a desire for the Lord's instruction in your life? Are you seeking the wisdom that is from above? Do you want the Lord's input on your choice and decision making? Let me tell you, you're about to make some decisions in life, because we always do. But if you don't put the Lord's input, if you don't seek His wisdom, you're going to make some big decisions and end up with some big regrets when you don't do it His way. And you can take that, my friends, to the bank. But if you're doing His way, man, what a blessing that will follow. We must have a powerful desire for the Lord's instruction. The question is, do we? Well, secondly, not only a powerful desire, but there must be a proper discernment of that information, a proper discernment. So jump to verse 3. We have this man named Titus. Titus was a guy that was a heathen, you may say. In other words, anybody that was not a Jew was considered a heathen. He got saved under Paul's ministry, probably. And so he is uncircumcised. If you don't know what that is, just go home and look it up in your Google or whatever, okay? Just find out. It's all right. But anyway, so he didn't want to follow the false teaching, and so they've been pressuring him, and he said, no, I'm not compelled to do that. Why? Because he wants to do what God says. He recognizes the things that are right. Remember Acts chapter 15, verse 1, where they were compelling people to be circumcised and follow the manner of Moses, in other words, become a Jew first before they can be saved, and so he was not willing to do those things. And so even in today's time, where we might not be dealing with that issue, there are many other issues that we deal with right now. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 is a good example. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And so you find all kind of people out there saying all kind of things. If you want to just turn on the TV, I don't really watch a whole lot of TV, but if you go to the maybe one of those gospel channels, I shouldn't call them gospel channels, but religious channels, man, there are all kinds of like, what in the world are these people preaching? Well, we find, because of 1 Timothy chapter 4, that there's all kinds of things out there. Some intentionally wrong, and some maybe not so unintentionally. But we need the idea of the Lord to give us discernment, that we may make good choices, that we may honor Him. And so I got a list of things, really, not really found in Galatians chapter 2, but I think found throughout the Bible, that you can make sure how to make some good choices. And so, as Timothy made and Titus made good choices and Paul made good choices, I think these would apply to us as well. One is, don't base your decision from prayerless people. If you read verse 5, let me read verse 4 and we'll go from there. And because of the false brethren, just know that those guys were false, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spite our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Notice this, it's important, verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. What's he saying? We didn't give them the time of day. We didn't give them, it says an hour, but he's saying, that's just another way. We didn't give them one moment of their time to convince us of the wrong things. And so I'm here to tell you about prayerless people, people that don't know Christ, people that don't know the gospel, people that don't do as they should, that are really living for themselves instead of the Lord. Don't get your decision-making process from them. Don't let them influence you. Matter of fact, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world." Man, people will mess you up if you listen to all the junk that is out there. There's so many biblical pictures here of people really not listening to false doctrine. Here, let me give you one. How about little old David? David shows up to the camp, and there's this giant in the field out there. For 40 days, the giant's going against the nation of Israel. And little David shows up and says, "What's going on here?" He says, "Why is not somebody challenged?" And the first people that speak to David was his brothers. And you know the advice his brothers gave? "Go home, David." Can you imagine if David would listen to the advice of his brothers? The second picture is when he shows up to King Saul. King Saul was head and shoulders above everybody. And King Saul says, "You can't fight this guy. You're but a youth, and he's been a man of war from his youth. Go home." But he listened to neither one of those guys. Listened to the Lord. And David won a great victory that day. Don't listen to prayerless people. Don't listen to people that are not in tune to the Lord. So many examples. You could talk about Moses and Aaron and those guys and how they sought the Lord and not the people. Now, let me remind you, you need good advice. You need people to come alongside of you. You need people to input in your life. Matter of fact, I like Proverbs 11:14. My life is kind of lived by this. "Where no counsel is, the people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." And so I'm telling you, it is good to have people input in your life, but make sure they are good people seeking God's desire. In other words, if you want business information, seek a Christian business person. If you want marriage information, seek a godly Christian counselor. I'm telling you, the world is out there full of crazy people that are not about God's word. There's so many things that we should be seeking. If it's spiritual advice, take it from someone that truly loves the Lord and follows His word. And so don't base your decision on prayerless people. Secondly, but don't base your decision on particular circumstances. Let me just tell you, there's a fallacy in the church today. It says, it's an open door, closed door doctrine. Oh, the Lord opened this door, the Lord closed this door. Now, sometimes He does, and we'll see all through this, that sometimes, yes, He opens it wide, so wide, and sometimes He closes. But be careful and have discernment. Make sure you know it is the Lord opening and closing the doors, not you or somebody else. You say, "Well, can somebody else close the door?" Well, Paul thought so. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Paul said, "Man, I wanted to come to you guys time and time again, but every time we wanted to go, Satan shows up and stops us." Sometimes a closed door is not of God, it is Satan. And so you just got to keep on, keep on, keep on. Matter of fact, again, closed door, open doors. Think about this. God called Moses to go to the Israelites in Egypt. And He says, "Tell Pharaoh to let my people go." 10 different times Pharaoh said, "Nope, I'm closing the door. You're not going." 10 times the door. When is about the third time Moses said, "Well, I guess that door is closed. I'm going to quit." But he did not stop. He kept on going. How about when they left Egypt and they get to the Red Sea? There's a closed door. There's no way to cross that thing. Man, the people start grumbling. What are we going to do? What if they turned around then because of this closed door? Lord opens that up. They walk on through. How about when they get in the wilderness for 40 years? Time and time again, the Israelites themselves, "Let's close this thing down and go back to Egypt." A closed door over and over. 40 years. Before finally God opened the door. How about when they got to the edge of the promised land and there's the Jordan River in flood stage, another closed door? What if they said, "Oh, there's no way we can do this"? Turned around, God's not in this. But He was. And the Jordan River opened up and He went on through. They did. And then they get to the walls of the Jericho, this first city they had to conquer. Walls that were tall and thick. It was a closed door, literally. And yet, when they did it God's way, the walls came tumbling down. I wonder today, are we looking at this closed door, open door situation as we should? We're always seeking for a sign. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 4, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign." and there should be no sign given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. You said, well, is it wrong to seek after a sign? What about old Gideon? Gideon wanted to seek a sign. Let me tell you about Gideon. God told him in the book of Judges, do this. It was clear. And then Gideon said, are you sure, Lord? He said, how about if I put out some fleeces, Lord? And so the first fleece he put out, he said, Lord, if you can make it wet and the ground dry, I'll believe you. He said, the Lord did. The next morning, he wrings out the water. He said, well, that's an easy thing, Lord. How about I put the fleece out again and make the fleece dry and the ground wet? And God does that. You say, well, see, is it wrong to seek a sign? He already knew the sign. He already knew the decision. He just needed a little bump, a little trust and faith. What if, oh, Gideon said, yes, sir, Lord, and got straight to the battle. Man, how much time we waste so many times looking for a sign. Thirdly, don't base your decision on prayerless people or particular circumstances, but don't base your decision on practical, worldly wisdom. Now, hear me clear, please. We need common sense. We need rational people. I'm telling you, like the church needs to do things with good common sense. I understand that. But here's the thought. We don't know it all, but there's one who does. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, God speaking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. And then the Proverbs writer says this, Proverbs 14, 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof are the ways of death. There's a thing that seems right. It looks right. It looks like it's common sense, but it is not. Sometimes we got to simply walk by faith. Sometimes we got to do things that seem impossible. Sometimes we just got to step out when God's called us and just believe Him. Can you imagine those first disciples when Jesus walked by and He says, follow me? One of those disciples, the first guys, the first ones that are going to be the apostles there, said, Lord, if the fish are not biting today, we will. Lord, if the fish market turns down and goes and bottoms out, then we'll follow you. That's common sense. What if they said, if we can sell our nets and boats and sails and oars, we can get rid of that, then we'll follow you. We'll just kind of weigh these things out, Lord. What if they said, well, if my father Zebedee says we can do it, then we will. Sometimes you just got to step up to the plate and listen to the call of God and do what God says. Get past the natural and follow the supernatural. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, here's the fourth thing, or D. Don't base your decisions on a passionate heart. Don't base your decisions on a passionate heart. Somebody's told me plenty of times, what is your heart saying? Follow your heart. Do what your heart says. Let me tell you, your heart will get you in trouble, amen? Oh, my goodness. Jeremiah says in 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I've seen some passionate people in my life, some passionate hearts, and it's seen in different ways. I've seen passionate politicians that were dead wrong. I've seen passionate cultists. I've seen passionate preachers that were just not right when it came to the Lord's will. I don't want to be political, but I remember years ago, and it's been 4 or 8 years. Do you remember a guy named Jeremiah Wright? There was a big article about him. He was a preacher in Chicago where President Obama went to. And man, if you ever listen to this guy, I'm telling you, he could, what they call, shuck the corn, amen? He was passionate about doing something for one group of people. But he was wrong. See, the Lord didn't come for one group of people. He didn't come for the whites or the blacks or the yellows or the reds or the purples or whatever color people are. He came for one group, and that is the lost group. And so you can be passionate and wrong about things that are not right. So I wonder about your passion. Is it contrary to the Scripture? Is your passion seeking those things that are right? Galatians chapter 5, because there's going to be influence there, says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." And so if you want to follow your heart, make sure you put that old flesh aside and make sure your heart is right with God. Make sure your heart truly yearns for Him. The psalmist said this in 37:4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And so if you're going to follow your heart, make sure your heart is in lockstep with Jesus. If you're going to follow your heart, make sure it is grounded in faith. If you're going to follow your heart, make sure it lines up with the Word of God. And you will not go astray. Then how about E? Don't base your decisions in the patterns of the Bible. Listen to me. Don't turn me off, because you're going to walk out and say, "The old preacher, heretic right here." Let me just tell you something about the Bible real quick. It is inerrant. It is true. The great thing about the Bible is it shows the good. It shows the bad. It shows the ugly. It shows the warts about God's people and about the heathen too. And so if you're not careful, you're going to take some things from the Bible and say, "Well, see, it's in the Bible right there. Look here." Let me give you an example. This has been several years back. Remember, this guy came on. He was and I'm not knocking Catholic priest, but he was on TV. And he was making an argument for gay and lesbian leadership in the church. And he goes back to the Bible and he said, "See, Solomon had 1,000 wives, and in those days that was part of the culture, and everyone accepted it. And so our culture is changing, and sooner or later there's going to be so many of these that it'll be natural, and it's going to be okay for those that are gay and lesbian to lead in the church." That was his argument. And when you hear the arguments, well, that sounds pretty good, unless you read the Bible. You see, Solomon failed to read something that was written a couple of hundred years before him, Deuteronomy chapter 17. And God knew all these things would take place about the kings coming up. And so he writes a statement, the Lord does, and gives it to Moses about what the king should be doing. And in that statement, Deuteronomy 17:17, here's what it says: "Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he multiply to himself silver and gold." Here's what people do sometimes. They say, "Well, they did this in the Bible. It must be okay." Let me just tell you how you follow what's in the Bible. This is important. If it says, "Thus saith the Lord," you better do it. But don't go by examples. Don't go by things, because there's all kinds of things. David, he murdered people. David was an adulterer. David did all kinds of things wrong. And God forgave him, sure. But don't base your life after David's life. Follow it after, "Thus saith the Lord," and follow His commandments and see what God will do for you. So I wonder, is this idea, do you have a great discernment in the Word of God? Do you look at what He says? 416 times, again, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord." So how do you get your answers from these things? Do you have a prepared heart? Do you simply honor Him and wait on Him? So here's three quick things to kind of sum up what I just said. In your decision making, one, does it honor or dishonor the Lord? Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Again, Colossians 3:17. Is the thing that you're fixing to decide, does it honor God or dishonor God? It's plain and simple. If it dishonors God, I would not do that thing at all. Does it honor or dishonor God? Secondly, does it keep or break the two great commandments? Love God and love thy neighbor. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is the name is like this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandments greater than these." By the way, this is "thou shalt" in just a different form. Is the thing that you're fixing to get involved in, does it break those two? Does it show that you love God and love others? And thirdly, does it hinder or help the ministry, the work of the ministry? Does it hinder or help the work of the ministry? In the thing that you're fixing to do, does it cause the ministry to go forward or backwards in your life and the life of others? Let me just give you an example. If I were to do what you're fixing to do, would you frown that because I'm the preacher? And let me just tell you, the preacher ain't no better than any of y'all guys. Amen. There's nothing special about me. But if I were to drink the same thing you were drinking, would that be something that would ruin my ministry? If I used the same language you used, would that hamper my ministry? If I treated my spouse the same way you treat your spouse, would that hinder my ministry? If I looked at the same thing you did on your phones as I did on my phones, would I still have a ministry? I am no different than you at all. And the Lord judges every man. I wonder, are we doing the things that honor Him as we should? We ought to decide to do right and follow Him. Have a proper discernment of the things that God has laid before us. Well, here's the last thing I want to share with you. There must be a powerful desire. There must be a proper discernment. But lastly, there must be a particular doing for continued instruction. A particular doing. In other words, God gives you what you need, but then I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes He only gives you just enough for you to make that next step. God only gives you just what you can handle. That's the best way to look at it. And so we need to do something, and that is step out by faith. Paul did that in Galatians chapter 2 when he says, I went up by revelation. In other words, God said, go there, and He does. So we must step out in faith and follow. Now, this is not the first time He's done that. As a matter of fact, He's done it several times. But when He got saved on Acts chapter 9, verse 6, remember, Paul was on the road to Damascus, and the Lord came to him and blinded him, and he said, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? And let me just read this to you. Acts chapter 9, verse 6, and he trembled and astonished and said, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, I like this. I'm telling you, God gives you just enough to get you where you need to be at. Let me just tell you, if Paul would have said, Lord, what were you having to do? And then the Lord would say, well, you're going to go here and here and here and here. You're going to be whipped 5 times. You're going to be beaten with rods 3 times. You're going to be stoned almost to death. You're going to be shipwrecked 3 times, Paul. But here's what I want you to do, Paul. Would have said, oh, no, sir. And so I'm telling you, take a step by faith, but that step means so much. Just like Abraham. Abraham, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, looking back in his life, says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. He went out. Notice this, not knowing whither he went. He just said, Lord, you say, go, I will go. And he just got to where God wanted him. Can I tell you about my life? God was calling me to preach, and I was saying, no way. There's nothing I wanted to do to stand behind a pulpit. Not because I didn't love the Lord. I surely did. I just knew that wasn't for me. But God got me to the next point. God got me to the next point. I started taking those small steps of faith, and I'm here today, 20-some-odd years later, because I was willing to take that small step. I wonder today, will you take that step? Will you simply listen and do? But it doesn't stop there. Be stay the course until more instruction is given. Stay the course. We just need to recognize that God's called us, but we cannot stop. We cannot turn back. If you read the end of Galatians 2, verse 2, the end, he just mentions this little bit. You may not understand what it means. He says, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Paul's been preaching Ephesians. We know in Galatians this idea about grace through faith, that you're saved only by that. He says, if I would have not continued everything I've done, all the preaching would have been in vain. And so he just needed to stay the course, and so should we. The psalmist said in Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then the end of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1, the end of that verse says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I'm telling you, if God's given you a word to do something, don't stop. If God's given you a word to do this, do it and don't stop. Keep on doing until God says stop and do something else. Don't go back on the calling of God. Don't turn away. Man, He has such great things for all of us to do great things. Don't say no more. Don't stop. Simply move forward. So you may be asking, well, what does God want me to do? What decisions does the Bible say He wants me to have in my life? Well, I can tell you a couple real quick, and there's so many, but for one, He wants you to be saved. There's no doubt, 1 Timothy chapter 4, this is the Word of God. Who will have all men to be saved? God's will for you is to be saved. Matter of fact, when you read the book of John, he didn't come to condemn us, but to save us. John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning some, concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Listen to this, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, today is the day of salvation. I'm telling you, if you're here today and never accepted Christ, that is the decision that Christ desires above any else in your life, to follow Him. And He's whispering, follow me, follow me. And you can rationalize all the things. There's too many people here. There's this, there's that. I'm telling you, just like the disciples, take a step of faith. Follow Him. Secondly, He wants you to serve in some place. Whether here or yonder, in some body of believers, in some particular ministry, God wants you. He's gifted you with talents. He's gifted you with the right desires. He has gifted you with the ability to minister to others. It may be from the children's department to the church sign out there. He has given you some talent or a thing that you can be used for the kingdom. Matter of fact, several years back, somebody shows up and says, introduced myself, and they said, we're here today because of the church sign. I didn't want to tell them Donnie Gwynn was the cause of that. You may think that's not anything, but it is. Somebody came to the Lord's house and heard the Word of God because of something somebody did. Will you use your life in ministry at some place, here or some other body of believers? God wants you to do that. There is no doubt. Then lastly, for you to be surrender to more instruction. He wants you to be open. He wants you to pray. He wants you to seek Him. He wants you to listen to Him. Be surrendered for Him to give you the words. It is the idea of wisdom that God gives us that we may know what to do. He gives us wisdom so that we can understand and do His great will. So the question today is, will you follow that word? Will you surrender yourself? Will you be saved if you're not? Will you serve if you're not? Will you do the will of God? Will you choose to do His will? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment.